Good afternoon. I call House Judiciary Committee meeting to order. Today is Monday, April 8th, 2024, and the time is 1:07 p.m. We are meeting in the Max Grinberg Committee Room 120 in the Capitol Building here in Juneau. I ask that you please silence your cell phones. The staff assisting us today is Talia with the Juneau LIO and Sophia with House Records. The following members present is Representative Johnson, Representative Gray, Representative Carpenter, Representative Groh, Vice Chair Allard, and myself, Chair Vance. We have a quorum to conduct business. We have just one item on today's calendar, and that is to hear House Bill 183, Designated Sex for School-Sponsored Sports by Representative Allard. So I will now ask Vice Chair Allard if she wants to come to the table to present her bill. And please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Chair Vance. My name is Representative Allard, and I appreciate the committee hearing my bill today. And I represent District 23, Eagle River.
Before you begin, if all of our invited testifiers on Teams could make sure that they are on mute so we don't have any bounce back in the committee, that would be helpful. Mr. Whitmore, could you make sure that you are muted?
I think you're
brief at ease.
I think you're
back on the record. Representative Allard, please walk us through your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'll start off with my sponsor statement, if you don't mind. Thank you to Representative Vance, Chair of the Judiciary Committee, and members of the committee. It is in our very recent history that women and the men who champion them have had to fight for women's rights and equality in our society. Can you believe it's been barely 100 years since women were granted the right to vote? Since then, we have come a long way. With legislation supporting and protecting women's rights and protecting us from discrimination, our culture has embraced and advanced the notion that women deserve the same opportunities as men, and we have made leaps and bounds in the opportunities available to women and girls to participate in sports. Girls who have participated in sports reap huge benefits for a lifetime. They gain confidence, good habits, strong bodies and bones, and have a lower chance of osteoporosis, breast cancer, and depression. They have had more positive body image and higher levels of self-esteem. They grow into strong women who are leaders and role models in our communities. They carry the lessons learned far beyond the playing field. And thanks to Title IX, their right to equal opportunities in sports and education is federally protected. Title IX states that no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any educational program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. We can thank our very own Senator Ted Stevens for this legislation, which has protected and promoted women in sports since its passage in 1972. The impact of the legislation is profound. Before 1972, 1 in 27 girls participated in sports. That number is now 2 in 5. Girls participate in high school sports has increased by roughly 1,000%. It has opened the door to more sports scholarships, opportunities for women, and for women to turn their sports into a career. We could even say that the effects of more women in sports has rippled across our sectors, breaking glass ceilings and elevating women as equals in our nation and even around the world. So what happens when a biological male enters the ring of women's sports? Being biologically bigger, stronger, faster, their physical advantage over women is anything but equal. It takes our nearly level playing field, which we fought so hard to achieve, and reduces it to women finishing second again. Women have worked hard to get where we are today. To set us back 100 years is unacceptable. When they were threatened, changes to Title IX, Senator Ted Stevens said, "Having lived this long with Title IX, I'm going to urge Congress not to support any changes that could have an adverse effect on the progress that has already been made under Title IX. We want more progress. Stevens was the guardian angel of women athletes. He would not stand by and allow culture wars to rob our girls and women of the progress we have fought so hard to gain. As a mom of two daughters, I would like to encourage the Senate, or the state legislature, in a bipartisan effort to support an act relating to school athletics, recreation, athletic teams, and sports. This bill, HB 183, acknowledges the biological differences, disparities between men and women, and requires students to play according to their biological sex. Our girls deserve a fair playing field. They deserve the chance to win first place, scholarships, and gold medals. Like U.S. Senators Ted Stevens, I will be a champion for our girls and our women. I have endured discrimination. I have conquered obstacles like my mom and my grandmother and my great-grandmother before me, so that my daughters don't have to. I don't do this for me. I do it for them. We fight for our daughters, expecting women to be physically equal to men is not equality. Equality is giving women the same opportunity as men, but it is forced to be physically compete against biological males. Women will be disadvantaged once again. If men can compete as better versions of women, all our progress for equality is dead. Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have the sectional. I don't know if you want me to briefly go over that or not, but I know every member has it in front of them too.
Thank you. I think we can go to invited testimony. So we do have three invited testifiers that are available on Teams. And first, we will hear from Idaho State Representative Barbara Earhart. If you would please place your name on the record, you will have 5 minutes to provide your testimony.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? First, can I just say thank you so very much for you, Madam Chairman, and your committee being willing to take this up. I'm so thrilled. Yes, I am Barbara Earhart, Idaho State Representative, and we're just finishing up here in Idaho, actually, but I was the first legislator to bring forward this Fairness of Women's Sports in 2020, and since that time, we've had 23 other states sign on and take this up and make the commitment to support our girls and our women in sports. So I am thoroughly thrilled and optimistic that Alaska will do the same thing. So let me just share a few things quickly about my background, because I have had the opportunity to testify in many of the states personally, not just remote like this, but personally in many of the states that have brought this forward. And one might ask, why would they want me? Certainly, I do understand the legislation and can answer any questions, as I feel all questions are answerable that the other side may bring up. But here's the fact that is more compelling. I was a Division I women's basketball player. And of course, I just enjoyed the tournament that took place. But not only was I a Division I women's basketball player, I spent 15 years of my life coaching Division I women's basketball at four fantastic institutions, UC Santa Barbara, BYU, Washington State, and then as the head coach back in the Big West at Cal State Fullerton. So I know very well the impact that men make on women's sports. And let me give you a quick example. In women's sports, we have very much, especially in basketball, we've very much been a peat and repeat. And so what would happen is, you know, when we started bringing in foreign players, every school started bringing in foreign players. When we start running a certain offense, everybody seems to run that offense. Here's the thing. First in Idaho, our Idaho gals, our Idaho State athletes had to compete against a biological male back in 2019-2020 by the name of June Eastwood. Now, June had competed as John for 3 years at the University of Montana, just as what happened with Leah Thomas. 3 years, Leah competed as Will and then decided to compete as Leah. Same thing that happened with C.C. Telfer when he won the national championship in Division II. Now, if any of these men had decided to compete earlier, like their freshman year, as a woman and identify as a woman, I promise you that immediately you would have seen incredible changes within all of the conferences. In other words, you're going to hear the other side say this is about the humanity and this is about inclusivity and this is about the community, but it's not about that at all. when it comes to sports, ultimately, when you get to these levels of high school and college, it's about winning. If it wasn't about winning, then players wouldn't be cut and coaches would not be fired. So because it's about winning, every coach in the Big Sky had June Eastwood decided to compete June's freshman year, and had Leah Thomas decided to compete Leah's freshman year on the women's side, every coach in the Ivy League, every coach in the Big West would have been forced to go out and recruit a male to counteract what had happened. Guarantee that's very true, especially in basketball, because you're talking about a team sport where you're competing against each other, just boom, one-on-one. So the tide could change so quickly if we don't do what's necessary to support and protect our women. And you know, it really doesn't just stop there. When you think about it, we're saying, like at the high school level, some will tell you, but it's just one boy. Now let's take it in a basketball sense. It's just one boy that would want to compete on the girls' team, and it's only going to displace one girl. Now, I completely disagree, because that one girl loses out on all those opportunities that she would have had to learn and grow. But even so, it's not just about that. Every person on the team, their position now changes. They may not be the MVP, the highest scorer, but it's not just there. Every team against whom they play, it all changes because they have to compete against a boy. But I submit to you that if we're willing to allow for just one boy to compete on the team, then we have to also be willing to allow that if 12 boys tried out for a girls' team in high school, whether it be volleyball or basketball, 12 boys tried out, then we have to systematically allow for the fact that all 12 of those would make the team. And my question to everyone really is, where do all the girls go? This is what's happening in sports, and what's happening to our girls and our women really is shameful. It's not even something any of us would have allowed ourselves to think about just 5 or 10 years ago. And my time is coming up. Again, I'll stay on should you have questions. But thank you so much for taking this issue up. So very much appreciated.
Thank you, Representative Ehart. Please stay on, and after we go through the other testifiers, then I will open up questions.
Madam Chair.
Representative Allard.
Thank you, and I apologize for interrupting you. The next individual that will be coming up to speak is also the only Alaskan coach that was inducted into the Coach Hall of Fame nationally. So I just wanted to make sure that was on the record.
Thank you. Coach Whitmore, if you could please place your name for the record, you will have 5 minutes to testify. And we need to take you off of mute. Brief at ease. Coach Whitmore, please continue with your testimony. We can hear you.
All right, thank you. My name is Larry Whitmore, a former teacher and coach in the Anchorage School District, Anchorage, Alaska. I'm speaking in support of HB 183. I have spent over 70 years of my life in the sports world, 60 of those years here in Alaska. I am still very active in coaching athletes of all ages, and also work as an official for cross-country running and track and field, both boys and girls. When I refer to girls and women, I am talking about biological females. When I refer to boys and men, I am talking about biological males. We already know that biological males have greater bone density, bigger hearts, lungs, and more muscle strength than biological females. As a father of two daughters, teaching and coaching both boys and girls for many, many, many years, I know there are many other aspects that make competition between men and women unfair. When girls enter middle school around the age of 12 and 13 and then go on to high school, they begin to change physically as their bodies prepare for childbearing. As a teacher, coach, and father, I had to be aware of these changes each month. Many had difficulties, not only physically, but emotionally, dealing with this period of time in their lives. Not all, but in most girls, this would affect their performance in the classroom and for sure on the sports field. These girls and women face the challenge of these changes that a boy or a man would never face. This one point alone is enough to understand that girls and women competing against boys and men is totally unfair. Take a look just at one sport, track and field. Track and field records prove beyond a doubt that women cannot compete with men. I coached the fastest girl in Alaska history, Starla Jackson, who still holds the Alaska state record in the 100-meter dash. Her fastest time would not be fast enough to even qualify her as even an alternate on any of the boys' sprint relay teams. During the years she ran for me, I had over 45 boys out for sprinting. She would have ranked among the 45 about 39th, which means she wouldn't even enter into a boys' event in the sprints. Of the 17 events, a girl could not qualify in any of the entries of the boys' events. Take a look at the records. They speak for themselves. If we are to protect Title IX and save women's sports from being destroyed, we must not allow unfairness of men competing against women. Earlier today, the Council of Presidents for the NAIA, National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, voted to approve a new transgender participation policy. They said this policy is a fair one and is consistent with the rationale for Title IX, allowing for separate and equal sports for men and women. This decision by the NAIA came only after 2 years of quite extensive study. And I firmly believe that everyone should be given the opportunity to participate and to compete in interscholastic sports, including transgenders, but on a fair and equal playing field. How would this be possible? One simple answer would be to have three divisions. We already have a men's division. We have a women's division. We could have another division for transgender. This will allow everyone to participate and have a chance to compete. I call this a win-win situation. Let's protect our women's sports, because if this is allowed to happen, they will be extinct. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach Whitmore. I'd like to let the record reflect we were joined by Representative Sumner at 1:11 p.m. Next, and for our third and final invited testifier, we will hear from renowned former NCAA women's swimmer, Miss Riley Gaines. If you could please state your name for the record, you will have 5 minutes to testify.
Yes, thank you so much. Members of the committee, my name is Riley Gaines, and I am an ambassador for Independent Women's Voice. I am here today to urge you to take action to protect women's sports at all levels of competition. My story is by now well known. I was a student at the University of Kentucky when I and other Division I female swimmers were forced to compete against Leah, formerly Will Thomas. In March of 2022, we watched in horror as this male swam to a women's national title, beating out the most impressive and accomplished female swimmers this world has ever seen, including Olympians and American record holders. Thomas and I raced in the 200 freestyle, which actually resulted in a tie, meaning, of course, we went the exact same time, down to the hundredth of a second. But despite tying, the NCAA insisted that Thomas hold the trophy. And when I asked why, they claimed it was necessary for him to be holding the trophy when photos were being taken. In that moment, it was clear to me, to my teammates, to my competitors, that the NCAA had reduced everything we had worked our entire lives for down to a photo op to validate the feelings and the identity of a male at the expense of our own. But that's not all. In addition to losing trophies and roster spots and podium spots to Thomas, we also had to share a locker room and change in front of this 6'4", fully intact, naked male. As I testified previously, we were not forewarned. And let me be very clear. We were not asked for our consent, and we did not give our consent to this exposure and exploitation. Unfortunately, Thomas was not a one-off. Across the country and in various sports, males are entering into women's athletic competitions, being given spots on women's teams, and being granted entry into our locker rooms. To date, males have stolen over 879 trophies, medals, and titles from women and girls across 423 different competitions and over 28 different sports. But the harm they cause is exponential, as every time a man even competes in an event or makes a team, a female athlete loses an opportunity to race, a spot on the team, or playing time on the field. But common sense Americans know intuitively that this is not fair to women. Scientific studies make clear what we already know, that males have an insurmountable 10 to 12% athletic advantage over females. This gap is evident in almost every sport and at every level of competition. Hormone therapy cannot close this gap or reduce male athletic performance to normal female levels. Take Leah Thomas, for example. He was mediocre at best, competing against the men, ranking in the 400s and 500s nationally, to 12 months later, dominating all of the women in the entire country, by body lengths, might I add. Not only do women have to worry about losing opportunities and being exploited in locker rooms, allowing men into women's sports also put girls at greater risk of injury. Injuries, of course, can and do happen, even when females are playing against other females, but allowing males to play women's sports increases the likelihood and severity of such injuries. In short, allowing males to compete in women's sports is risky, it is unfair, and it is discriminatory, and it must stop, which is exactly what Senator Ted Stevens hoped to achieve. I admire and respect him just as much as I know you guys do. And that is why I implore you to vote in support of HB 183 to protect women's sports at every level of competition. I thank you guys very, very much.
Thank you, Ms. Gaines, for your testimony and also for coming to Alaska, and for all three of you for being a voice for women in everyone's opportunity in sports. So I will now open up to questions for committee members. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair to Ms. Gaines, thanks for being here today. My question is about the International Chess Federation banning trans women from competing in chess as women, and also the World 8-Ball Pool Federation banning trans women from competing as women in pool. Can you speak to why that ban is appropriate?
I believe it's appropriate because any opportunity entitled to a woman deserves to go to a woman. If that wasn't the case, I mean, they had male and female categories in the first place. I think we have to ask ourselves, why do they have these categories? If sex really matters, which it does, in places where safety is threatened, where privacy is threatened, where equal opportunity is threatened, then I believe sex-based categories are a necessity. And those categories were put in place for a reason. And again, any female opportunity is entitled to a female.
Follow up.
Thank you. So I guess my question through the chair to Ms. Gaines is why do you think they have male and female categories for chess?
I think that's a separate question entirely that obviously I'm not suited to answer, but the categories are there. They are in place. I couldn't beat anyone in chess. I don't even know if I could beat anyone in checkers, to be totally honest with you, but the categories are there. So clearly they're there for a reason. And again, if it's a female category, whether it's pool, whether it's chess, whether it's fishing, what have you, ice fishing for your guys' sake, that category and that spot, that championship is entitled to a woman. We just saw actually in 8-ball, a male by the name of Harriet Hines win the European championship, taking over 600, I think 650 euros or pounds away from a deserving woman. I reached out to this woman. Her name is Kim O'Brien, who plays second. Who actually conceded the match because she didn't want to compete against a male because she felt it was so unfair. She explained to me the advantages that males possess in 8-ball, including on break and different things. Of course, the size and length of your arms all matters in pool. She expressed to me how this was her livelihood. This was her income. This is how she fed her family. And because she didn't win, that cost her. And again, cost her family. So again, any title, any category entitled to a woman, I believe, should go to a woman.
Any further questions from committee members? Seeing none, thank you so much for coming and testifying on this important bill. Representative Allard.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a couple of notes, is that I was a junior Olympic athlete, so I competed in JO in the 100 and 200 meters when I was in high school. And if I had to compete against a male, my record over the past 38 years in those events would not be standing today. And I'm proud to say that. Thank you very much. And I also like to bring up that this bill currently doesn't have the post-secondary education in it, and that I would welcome an amendment to come forward to add that collegiate and post-education, our post-secondary education, to go to represent biological women being able to continue to compete. I'm also looking forward to amending the bill to have safety put in here, because it is a big deal with you have biologically larger males competing in the sport. The last thing is that I would welcome a amendment in regards to birth certificates. So right now you have to, in order to compete in sports in the state of Alaska, you have to furnish a birth certificate. And in the bill, it does state that the birth certificate has to represent the individual's biological sex if they want to compete either in mixed biological boy sports or girl sports. And because some children are adopted, that the amended birth certificate in that case reflecting their biological sex at the time of their birth is something that we would also welcome. If there's any questions, I can answer them, and that's it.
Any questions for the bill sponsor? Representative Groh.
Yes, and thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Allard, we've talked about privacy here, and obviously Alaska has a constitutional right to privacy, unlike I think some of the other jurisdictions that we've talked about here today. How are we going to determine the sex question in the sense of, and what are the ways in which this will be determined that, hey, you can't compete?
Thank you. Through the chair, thank you for that question, Representative Groh. I want to explain also to members who might not have children and or the community members that right now, in order to compete in sports in the state of Alaska, you have to have a physical. And the doctor has to examine you for health reasons. So if you have some sort of heart murmur or other issues for safety reasons, you do have to have a physical in order to compete in sports. My children had to have it, and all the kids across the state have to. So as far as right to privacy, that goes both ways. Women deserve the right to privacy, and so do girls. And also with the birth certificate, in order to enroll in school, you have to have a birth certificate of your date of birth. And on that birth certificate, it does also say it has to be with, it says your biological sex. And in the state of Alaska, I do know you can amend your birth certificate if they choose to do so, but it does have to be part of an original birth certificate that states their biological sex at birth.
Follow up, Madam Chair. Mr. Mallard, where would the requirement come in that there'd be the original birth certificate? Is that in this legislation?
That is in this current legislation, but I also want to repeat again, it is required by deed in our education system that when a child enrolls in school, they will have a birth certificate. That is not a privacy issue. So that birth certificate can be administered as an option, or not an option, as a mandatory requirement to compete in women's sports and girls' sports.
Follow up. Representative Allard, you mentioned the doctor's examination in the physical. Is it your understanding that these physicals that occur for sports of people under in junior high or high school or maybe the lower level, that they have the person conducting the physical examination inspects the genitals of each of the patients?
Can you say that last sentence again, just a little louder? I'm sorry.
Is it your understanding or belief that these physical examinations have an inspection of the genitalia of every patient?
Thank you for asking that question. And through the chair, my two daughters had gone through the physicals, and I was in the room with my daughters through the physicals. They do an exam, and I do know that they talk to my daughters. They don't do like a full-blown, I guess you would call it a pap smear or anything like that, but they do examine the child and or the girl and the male, and I am assuming that the doctor would know if they were a boy or a girl, and they do ask them questions. And I don't know if Representative Groh, if you have children or not, but they do a exam to be able to determine it. I think they also do part of a groin exam to decide too, so that there are no current injuries with the children.
Follow up. Are you familiar, Representative Allard, with a legal opinion that was 11 pages long, prepared by our legislative lawyers, dated April 19th, 2022, that discusses and states that if legislation very similar to this were enacted into law and challenged, quote, a court would find this law unlawfully discriminates against transgender females in violation of the Equal Protection Clause, the Alaska Constitution.
Thank you. And through the chair, Representative Grode, thank you for the question. What I will say is that this bill has nothing to do with the biological boys in the form of whether they want to dress like girls or not. This is protecting girls in sports and women in sports. I am familiar with that legal legislation that has come down. And if you're questioning whether it can be shot down or not, that's not for me to say at this moment. All I know is that right now federal law is being violated in the state of Alaska by allowing boys and men to compete in girls and women's sports.
But what?
Follow up.
What law is that?
What's called Title IX.
Okay. Are you aware, follow up?
Follow up.
Are you aware that various court decisions have struck down laws like this around the country based on constitutional concerns?
Thank you. And through the chair, thank you, Representative Grove, for the question. Are you saying that you want to continue to discriminate against women and girls in sports?
My question is, are you aware that there has been litigation about this that has sometimes been successful?
Thank you. And through the chair, Representative Grove, that's not my issue right now. My issue is getting a law passed here in the state of Alaska defending women's rights and children's rights, girls' rights to compete in sports without a biological male jeopardizing their safety, their scholarships, and their freedoms, and their lack of discrimination that's coming or not to be discriminated against.
Representative
So
Carpenter.
I can't see the future.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just feel the urge, the need to point out the absurdity of this conversation. Bait and switch tactics, confuse the issue tactics, to justify discriminating against women should be beneath us. Absurdity is defined by Merriam-Webster as a noun, is the state or condition in which human beings exist in an irrational, meaningless universe, and in which human life has no ultimate meaning. And if we cannot figure out that our men need to compete against men and our women cannot compete or can compete against women, then we're on a whole nother realm of crazy. We have fought hard to give women rights in this country so that they can compete fairly with other women. And that is what this bill is trying to do, is to maintain those rights. And any other type of obfuscation is absurd. Thank you.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair to the sponsor, are trans people entitled to the same constitutional rights and protections as everyone else?
Thank you. And through the chair, they are not entitled to take place of women and girls. These are biological males that you're referencing. So in case of Title IX and women competing in sports and girls, no.
Follow up.
Through the chair to the sponsor, do you have studies showing that trans women do possess physical gifts that give them advantage over cis girls in sports?
Thank you. And through the chair, first of all, I would not reference women or girls as cisgender. I think that's what I heard you say. I take that as a slur, and I'm offended by it, number one. Number two, can you rephrase your question if you...
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you. Through the chair, do you have any studies that show that trans women have physical advantage over what I'm going to call cis girls, what you call biological girls in sports?
Thank you. And through the chair, I would ask Riley Gaines in order to answer that, since she has a high amount of experience on that. And then my question would be, yes, there's plenty of studies out there that say biological men are stronger and can compete much better in sports than women. So I would like to go ahead and use one of my lifelines. And she has a book full of facts.
Ms. Gaines, are you available? Did you hear the question from Representative Gray?
Yes, ma'am, I did. Look, if we're looking at Leah Thomas, again, what I would say I have the most experience with, this was a male who went from ranking 554th nationally in one event to winning a national title the next year. Plus, just taking the time we've spent in this committee hearing today, we have only been referring to this whole debate, males infiltrating into women's sports. If the argument is that males don't possess advantages over females, then why haven't we spent any time talking about or worrying about women entering men's sports? It's because everyone in this hearing room, this committee room, knows that that's not what we're referring to. Anyone with a brother knows the advantages that males possess over females. So I feel as if the evidence is evident. You look at any sport. Let's take the basketball, for example. Of course, we just watched the championship game yesterday. The three-point line is a different distance. The size of the ball is smaller. The amount of layups you see in women's basketball compared to dunks when a man or any player gets a fast break on that court. Men's volleyball, the net is 7.5 inches higher than the women's net. I could keep going with different advantages. Tee off in golf, men's tee is further back than women's tees. All of these handicaps or advantages or categories, what have you, are in place for a reason. And that is because we have never struggled to understand that men, of course, on average, are stronger, faster, taller, more explosive, can jump higher than women. It's not sexist to say that. It's not bigotry to say that. It's biology. And again, I feel as if that's well understood in this hearing room, considering we've only been referring to males infiltrating into women's sports.
Representative Gray.
Thank you. Follow-up. To the sponsor, I appreciate your advocacy for Title IX and the move for equality in women's sports. In Alaska, according to Econ Equity in 2019, women in Alaska earn 72 cents for every dollar that men earn. Do you believe women in Alaska should be paid the same as men for doing the same work?
Representative Gray, we are talking about designated sex in sports.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to refer to the sponsor statement. I believe it refers to women earning the right to vote, and I would like a little bit of latitude if we're going to talk about women's right to vote as supporting this legislation. I would like to talk about women's equality in the workplace in this legislation.
We are talking about sex ed sports today, and her statement was a historical support of the legislation. The questions that you have should pertain to the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will strike that question from the record. I'll ask one.
Do you have a follow-up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So as a medical provider who does do sports physicals at the urgent care that I work at, I do have lots of parents coming in for sports physicals. I do not routinely do genital exams. Mm-hmm. There is a spot on the form about hernias. So what I do is I ask any lumps, pain in the groin, anything that might suspect. If a child were to answer that they thought there was something unusual going on there, then that would be justification for the exam. But I don't routinely do genital exams. I don't really know many providers who do routine genital exams on kids coming in for the sports exam. And I feel like if that's the direction, I guess it's a question through the chair to the sponsor. Is it your intent that more genital exams would happen in order to make sure that this is that we're meeting the criteria of the bill?
Thank you. And through the chair, if you don't mind, I'll respond. Thank you, Representative Gray, for the question. That's absurd. The bottom line is I'm not here to promote more genital exam on children. I think that question is very flamboyant and out of line. I'm here to defend the rights of girls and women to participate in sports. And that's all I'm here for. The biological definition will be on a birth certificate, and nowhere in my bill does it mention a sports physical. What I am stating when I say sports physical is that that is now required by ASA and the state of Alaska.
One final follow-up.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair to the sponsor, my fear is that I believe it's not your intent, but my fear is I know that in Kansas, when they passed a similar bill, they did leave an opening for possible exams to determine the biological sex. And so my fear is that even if it's not your intent, that that's what the bill could do. And I do believe that the bill because of that is dangerous, and I would move to table House Bill 183.
Thank you. And Madam Chair, may I go ahead and respond to Representative Gray?
I call the question.
Okay, sorry about that.
Moving to table a bill in its first hearing is out of order. In judiciary, we have difficult conversations about challenging topics, and that has not ever stopped us from proceeding forward on things that are important. We do have a response to your question, Representative Gray, by Representative Ehart.
Gosh, thank you, Madam Chair and good committee. Let me just address Representative Gray's concern, because it actually is very easily addressed, and you can take care of this in simple language in the physical. As I was bringing this forward in Idaho, I examined most every state's high school activity physical form. And let me tell you what most of them had in common, and five different ways you can determine a sex without even having to necessarily touch the individual. But these questions were very common. First was actually just asking, were you male or female, biologically. So that was one. But then the next question was, have you ever been hospitalized or had any surgeries? So if you had had any sort of reassignment surgery, this would be a place where you'd be able to speak with your doctor or the examiner, the health provider, about that. The next question was, are you taking any medication or pills? So if you're on any hormone medication or anything like that, here's where that could be revealed, and then we could get it into actually what is happening and maybe the direction you're going with your body. The next question was, and now this is maybe, this one was more indicative to Idaho, but I it was there before I even brought the legislation. I found it kind of interesting. It said, were you born without a kidney, testicle, or an organ? So it's just asking if you're missing certain parts of your body that maybe you used to have or that you should have. And so again, another opportunity for the health provider to speak. This next question was a question that I think is key. It was, name, and I think most every state asks this. If Alaska doesn't, they should. Name, when was your first period, your last period, and the longest time in between your menstrual cycle? So if there's a question, this is a great opportunity to say, you don't have a period? Why don't we have a period? And then, of course, the last one was addressed with that proverbial male cough test. So honestly, without even touching athlete, you could find out a lot of things just through the questions. And so I would suggest that Alaska, if there's any question, that you just add some of these questions to your health physical form, and you'd have the problem solved.
Brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Back on the record, Representative Sumner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not really sure why we're talking about physicals in relation to this bill, because under section 18 or 14.18.150, if you look actually at page 2, lines 15 through 20, it basically says that the biological sex listed on the participant's birth certificate may be relied on to establish the participant's biological sex designated at the participant's birth. So I would assume that it would just simply be a birth certificate presented. I would inquire, though, are there, I do know that it's the case that courts can order changes to birth certificates under certain specific circumstances, and I would ask the bill sponsor or alleged legal possibly if a court could order a change in somebody's gender on their birth certificate.
May Representative Ballard.
Thank you. And through the chair, thank you for that question, Representative Sumner. They can, in the state of Alaska, amend and change birth certificates, and I believe they can change their biological sex on that. But I will tell you that I am asking for the birth certificate in this bill according to their sex at birth, and the one amendment that we would support would be that of adoption. Any other amendment to birth certificates would probably indicate that they had changed their biological sex.
Follow up.
And I apologize too. I wanted to do the follow up. The reason we had brought up the ASA going in for a physical was because Representative Groh, and I hope I'm not misstating this, had indicated in reference to the legal documents about the right to privacy.
Representative Sumner.
No follow-up.
Thank you. Representative Allard, does your bill exclude those who identify as transgender from playing sports?
Representative, through the chair, Representative Vance, my bill does not discuss that. My bill is specifically speaking about women in sports and girls in sports, and it indicates just where Representative Sumner has stated in Section 2 that male, men, or boys have a team sport, that female, women, or girls team sport as well, and co-educational or mixed team sport.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative Gray.
Thank you. Through the chair to the sponsor about page 2, line 18. The way I read that is that a birth certificate may be relied upon, not shall, but may be relied upon. And it's my understanding, and the sponsor can correct me if I'm wrong, but the Alaska Department of Vital Records will amend the gender marker on a birth certificate with a letter from a licensed medical provider. So it doesn't require a court. It requires a letter from their doctor to change it on the birth certificate. It's my opinion that that would make the birth certificate possibly unreliable. Do you agree?
Representative Valley.
Thank you. And through the chair, thank you for bringing that up. And I did forget to tell you that that actually may would be amended to a will or a shall for a legal definition. So thank you for that kind reminder. Number two, can you tell me your second question, please?
So my second question was, because it appears to be fairly simple to change the gender on the birth certificate, that might not be, that might not carry out the intent of the bill.
Right. So if I can, thank you, through the chair. It says in line 15, Section B, a student who participates in an athletic team or sport designated female, woman, or girls must be female based on the participant's biological sex, either as a female or a male, as designated, designated at the participant's birth. So the only accepted birth certificates would be those that would have been amended at adoption, not for amendment due to them changing their sex or trying to identify as a different sex. If I'm answering you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to respond to Ms. Earhart about the questions about asking about menstruation in our young women, that there are several medical conditions I can think of where a young female may not be menstruating, and it's not because she's not a female. And furthermore, particularly with extremely athletic young women, mm-hmm. we know about it with our female gymnasts. If they're training 7 days a week, this may delay menstruation. It's not because they're not going to menstruate at some point. So I just wanted to point out that that may not be the best line of questioning for young people, particularly with the privacy clause in the Alaska Constitution.
Madam Representative Vance, may I respond, please?
Representative Allard.
There is nobody more expert in this room but the women sitting here today. They know their bodies, and I absolutely appreciate Ms. Reinhart bringing up Earhart, bringing up the fact that as an option, that those are questions that are asked on a physical, because they asked my daughters when and where and the first time, or are they having their period? And so I just think that Representative Earhart was just stating one of the possibilities. That's all.
Thank you, Representative Sumner.
Thank you, through the chair. So if the birth certificate shall be relied upon and the birth certificate was modified, I'm not completely certain about this, but I think that the modified birth certificate would on its face be identical to an original birth certificate. I don't think there's a like amended on date for
right.
the new birth certificate.
May I? Yeah.
Representative Allard.
Thank you for that question. I don't know the answer, but we can get that answer just to find out. There's a little bit of digging when it comes to the birth certificates. But again, I want to make sure that the committee knows that we're looking at the original birth certificate designated at time of birth. We could look into making sure if there were amended birth certificates, the adoption birth certificates, for example, we can do a little bit of research and I can get back to the committee on what those birth certificates would look like. What I'm trying to alleviate by the wordage in this bill is that we're not deceived or lied to, and that the persons bringing their birth certificate are honest And in order to do that, we'll just have to go through and make sure all the checks, the boxes are checked to make sure that does happen. Thank you, Representative Summer. Sorry, I don't have an answer for you on that. Gets a little tricky.
Thank you, Representative Allard. And with that, we do have, a couple of us have some bill hearings that, and we have spent an hour on this first introduction. And I want to thank the invited testifiers for being available, for answering questions. And I know that you've made yourself available for committee members to follow up with any further questions. So thank you for that. I'm going to set an amendment deadline for this bill for this Wednesday, the 10th, by 5 p.m. to my office. And we will be having floor for over the next several days. We hope to have a committee on Friday where we could take it up again. Representative Sumner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just going to ask to the bill sponsor if she was intending to bring forward some amendments, and are those amendments intended to change the way changes in birth certificates are carried out, or what was intended there?
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Sumner. Actually, I could work with you, and if you wanted to bring one of those birth certificate amendments forward, we can work at that. But it is my intent to make sure those children who have been adopted have a birth certificate that represents their biological sex. So I'm curious, too, if a birth certificate from an adopted parent, if it says amended or not on that. But we could definitely look into it. And yes, it is my intention to make sure all our bases are covered.
Thank you, Representative Allard. We are now going to set this bill, House Bill 183, aside. And seeing there is no other business before the committee today, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect it's 2 p.m.